My first guest today is Anders Sormann-Nilsson, a Swedish-Australian futurist whose presentations are meticulously researched, highly energetic and fascinating to say the least. He has, in fact, over the years turned research into foresight and business impact for corporate leaders in the world. He shared the stage with Nobel laureates Hillary Clinton, European and Australian heads of state. So he certainly knows what he's talking about, and a very big welcome to you. Thank you for joining us today, Anders.
Thank you for having me on the show.
All this information that keeps coming out, Anders, is something that we baby boomers are finding pretty difficult to absorb. I mean, it wasn't even a fantasy back four decades ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess when it comes to the future, some of the sort of science fiction scenarios of some years ago seems like those science fiction scenarios are now becoming science fact and business fact in our everyday lives already today.
And it seems to us it's happened very quickly, but in fact, behind the scenes, obviously research and, you know, experimental research, you know, details have been going on for very many years. I mean, we've looked at the computer changes over the years. So who are these amazing people that are able to do these things?
Well, I think it's a combination of both humans and robots or artificial intelligence. I mean, we mustn't forget that even though these things seem sudden, it was already in 1996 that Garry Kasparov, the Russian grand chess master, was beaten by IBM's Deep Blue in chess. And of course, things have been ticking on in the background, and computers and artificial intelligence have been getting increasingly sophisticated ever since. And of course, unlike us mere human mortals, artificial intelligence, of course, increases at the same rate as what's known as Moore's Law. In other words, it doubles every 18 to 24 months. So certainly we must all become a little bit curious about all of these new digital technologies.
Yeah, when we talk robots, I mean, our mental image, of course, is the little tin man that sort of walks along, you know, doing things and doing a bit of housework and that sort of thing. But we're talking about intelligence here, aren't we? Without emotion, though, is that not still very important in life?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think really the future, while it's easy to sometimes be dystopic about the future and to think that the machines will be working against us, I think that really it's a combination of woman and machine in the future. It's human intelligence combined with artificial intelligence. And in fact, even in the space of chess, it's now been shown that the most successful chess teams are in fact centaur-style teams, i.e. the combination of amateur human chess players amplified by even not just the strongest computers, but just decent computers. And they will beat, hands down, any of the grand chess masters or the computers playing on their own. So in fact, the combination of human intelligence and artificial intelligence is probably what's going to give shape to our future worlds.
So it's a friendly compromise.
Yeah, or a combination, an amplification, I think, to say that, you know, the pie can be greater than the sum of its parts. It's certainly in terms of building, you know, the opportunities, the education system, the businesses and the enterprises of tomorrow, those businesses, those individuals who are able to take their human intelligence and amplify and augment it with artificial and robotic intelligence will be the winners.
So the changing world will be for the better, you can see. Can you see any areas that perhaps there could be, you know, glitches, for example?
Yeah, I mean, we always kind of face the scenario, will the future be a dystopia or will it be a utopia? I don't think things are quite as black or white. And certainly it's impossible to predict the future, but what we can do is to prepare for the future. We mustn't be future phobes. I think it's better to be a future file and to be optimistic about the future. But certainly we can think of scenarios such as self-driving cars. I've got a six-month-old son here at home, and I thought about our latest car purchase. And I thought about the fact that Lucien, when sitting with his grandmother from Sweden, who's visiting here in Australia at the moment, and we're talking about driver's licenses. And Mum sort of sadly said, hey, Lucien will probably never have to get his driver's license.
True.
And I said, no, he may not need it. But at the same time, the World Economic Forum predicts that 1.1 million human lives will be saved every year globally because of self-driving cars.
I can't wait for that to happen, to be very, very honest with you. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing, and I think we're going to embrace that. You're absolutely right. The future generations are not going to look at the world in the same way, and they won't be daunted by change because it won't be a change. It will be happening.
Yeah, and of course, these are just developments that are happening every day now. Certainly, having come back from a holiday in Italy recently, I welcome the day of self-driving cars when we don't have humans behind the wheels who, in some instances, are either texting while driving or even drink driving in some instances. So certainly, that will be a safer place. And at the same time, technology is neither positive nor negative necessarily. We must also remember that, you know, the future cyber terrorists of the world don't necessarily need to send in an ISIS fighter. They might be able to send in code to hijack, say, a truck. So, you know, these things are positive and negative, but I think what we can do as humans is to be well-read on these things, to philosophize a little bit, and certainly to be curious about these developments while also at the same time investing in our own cybersecurity.
Other areas, I suppose, you know, that we'll probably see positive change would be the benefit to the environment, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we talk about exponentiality, solar power would be one of those instances which where we have an instance of energy exploding based upon, of course, exponentiality as opposed to old analog notions of growth. And certainly solar power is driven by the mechanics of Moore's law. And that is something that we're increasingly seeing in terms of sustainability, where we're right on path to be able to ensure that the world will continue to be solar powered. In many ways, you could say that the world is already solar powered. Just look at agriculture and the environment. Without photosynthesis, things wouldn't really happen. But of course, the next step is to really harness that technology, like Tesla, through its investments in South Australia, are already showcasing that this is now an economically viable model for generating, storing, and even trading on the solar energy that you produce in your own home.
The big concern, I think, that we all have just on the surface is the concern about employment and the change of choice of career. And you've quoted here that JP Morgan Chase has replaced 360,000 legal human hours with contract intelligence.
Yeah, exactly. And over in the UK, there's a firm called Allen & Overy, one of the top firms over there, that has now reduced 3 hours of human contracting drafting work with artificial intelligence, which brings that down to 3 minutes from 3 hours.
Wow. That's
and of course, if you pay your lawyer in 6-minute increments, which is industry standard, you'd probably prefer having an artificial intelligence robot to do the work for you instead. So certainly artificial intelligence will do to white collar work that machines and robots have been doing to blue collar work already. And of course, this will reshape the way we work. Some people, I think, overhype the sort of large scale loss of jobs in the short term, but certainly the way we work and interface and collaborate with technology will change. Even in, you know, banking, for example, 32% or upwards of that, even at the higher tiers of the banking profession, are now are now focused on data entry, which is, of course, a task that, if you chunk it down, is really something that an artificial, the intelligent robot could be doing instead of us. So certainly we must rethink the way we do work every day. Even if you're a truck driver, you might say, hey, self-driving cars or self-driving trucks will replace that kind of labor. At the same time, you might think that, hey, there might be opportunities to reskill and do new types of work as well.
Yeah.
That we haven't even invented yet.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I guess we've got to have to be constantly informed as to, you know, the education opportunities for young people going through. There's a situation around the world with crime and terrorism. We're looking, of course, at the situation of robocops. I believe they're already on the streets in Dubai. Now, how do they analyse a situation and how do they work?
Well, again, I was on a panel in Dubai, in fact, with the head of the RoboCop unit in Dubai recently, speaking at the Knowledge Summit in Dubai. And one of the other panel members wasn't even a human. It was Robot Sophia, who's just been granted citizenship rights in Saudi Arabia. So quite an interesting meeting of both human and digital minds. But to answer that question, the assessment goes via just big pattern recognition by the computer. And of course, they crunch numbers like we cannot. So you can imagine, for example, in Australia, if you enter Australian territory, already the biometric authentication and video cameras are better and more apt at recognizing facial features than our humans today already. And of course, similar technologies go into the Robocops in Dubai. And this might be not just detecting human features and authenticating that a particular person happens to be Jenny or Anders, but also the emotions that we experience. And of course, it's been said that if you look into the eyes, you look into someone's soul. And similarly, feelings like disgust or anger are things that we can display via our face as well. And now already computers are better at detecting those little micromuscular movements that are really a mirror into your soul.
The drones, of course, are, coming up with some great ideas, aren't they? Not only just for cinema photography and that sort of thing. How are they going to be used in the future?
Well, I think with the entrance of Amazon into the Australian marketplace, I wouldn't be surprised if soon we're having either our food or our groceries or some of the other shopping habits that we display, our retail therapy, or the results thereof being delivered to our homes with a friendly drone. And of course, this is something that Amazon has already been trialing overseas, and I think given some of the tyrannies of distance in Australia, it is something that will soon be happening here on Australian shores. I think another impact, of course, is smarter forms of agriculture with precision technology and precision agriculture already in Japan. Drones are being very effectively used in agriculture to spray fields. And do so down to a very, very small and minute area of precision.
Yeah, brilliant. And sort of the future, I suppose, of medicine, for example. I mean, they're coming up with machines. I noticed on the internet the other day where they're able to X-ray the entire body, not just an X-ray as such, but they can rotate the body and it shows every organ when they're about to operate and be very efficient.
Yeah, and of course, medicine is one of those other fields where I think you'll see a combination of human skills with artificial skills.
Yeah.
In the area of medicine, for example, now, again, given tyrannies of distance in Australia, you can still go to a local hospital and have someone operate on you remotely from some of the best hospitals in the world, courtesy of the Da Vinci robotic arm. So someone might be able to sit in a Boston top-notch medical institution operating on someone in regional Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already something that's happening. Of course, combined with smarter diagnostics, now at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital in the United States, nurses and doctors tend to trust the artificial intelligence of IBM's Watson over their human peers and colleagues when it comes to oncology or cancer diagnosis. But of course, the upside of all of this, beyond more accurate surgeries and more accurate diagnosis, which I think is to all of our benefit, the doctors will be able to spend more quality time and nurturing their fundamentally human skills, such as bedside manners, which of course have positive outcomes for the humans being operated on as well.
That we certainly can't lose, that's for sure. Human contact, we are human and that's what we do need. What about, just finally, if you could tell us about currency in the future?
When you're thinking about digital currency or what will be current in the future?
Well, yeah, what would be current, I guess. We're looking at the situation at the moment where we're getting a lot of information about Bitcoin, aren't we?
Yeah, certainly, Bitcoin is one of those interesting examples, and I was just reading a story in the Fin Review about it just this morning, highlighting and comparing it to the tulip crisis or a craze in Holland back in the 17th century, where you know, a tulip bulb could be worth up to 12 times the average annual salary of the average Dutch person at the time. I mean, we're seeing something similar in terms of Bitcoin. And while certainly there is this perceived idea that it has a lot of digital value, it also lacks a little bit of liquidity. And unlike many pundits who happen to say that the blockchain technology on which the currency exists is immutable and cannot be hacked, we've already seen, say, Mt. Gox or even some of the Hong Kong Bitcoin exchanges being hacked and having a large amount of the Bitcoins being removed from them. So my expectation here in terms of Bitcoin is that it's an interesting thing to follow, certainly something to be aware of. I also think it highlights the fundamental human sort of greed factor of trying to make some quick money in a very short space of time. So talk to your financial advisors.
Very much so.
General in nature. But certainly the underlying technology in terms of blockchain technology is an interesting one, and certainly will change the game. If the internet was the internet of information, the blockchain, the underlying technology, will be the internet of value, and that will certainly impact how, say, property transactions get done in the future, and how even smart contracts can be exchanged and executed, almost like self-driving cars, without human intervention, which could be quite beneficial, say, even in an inheritance or a will situation, a succession situation, where the will that you write, the words that you write in your will, can be automatically executed by a human as opposed to, by a robot as opposed to a human executor.
And just finally, will we have currency as we have today in the future?
I believe so. We will have currency just like we do now. If you look at the history of man or womankind, of course, a new technology tends to not fully replace an old technology. That's as true as it is for horses, as it is for types of exchanges. In parts of the world, we can still exchange a goat for or a couple of goats for other types of livestock. You know, we still barter, we still exchange cash every now and then, even in China. You know, red envelopes come stacked with cash still, even though it's one of the most digitized economies in the world. So while cash may no longer be king as we used to know it, certainly currencies will increasingly become digitized. And if you think about the majority of money today in the world is already digitized. Yeah. So we'll see a movement in that particular direction where everything that can be digitized eventually shall become digitized. But goats, horses, and old notions of value are not going to go away overnight.
Very happy to hear that, Anders, to be very honest with you. It's so much for us to absorb, but we really have to go for the ride. And I think it's all very exciting. In fact, very grateful that we're here to see these changes, to be very honest.
It's probably the scariest and also the most exciting time to be alive. So if anything, I urge your listeners to download or to go to the cinema and see some good movies about artificial intelligence and tune in to the best science fiction authors in the world to see how these things are actually unfolding right before our eyes.
Very exciting. Thank you very much indeed for your time. Much appreciated.
Thank you, and see you in the future.
Wow.